Right, let's read the Easter story. Andrew actually read it this morning at the start of the service, but let's just read it again from Matthew 28, and then I'll give a couple of thoughts on it. Okay, so Matthew 28, verse 1, it says this: early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Now remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." We know, we've already recognized this morning or acknowledged the fact that without a death, you can't have a resurrection. And as I was thinking, you know, we have these, every year we have Christmas, we have Easter, different points of the year, and I'm always intrigued by the fact that there's always feels a bit of pressure that we've got to try and find a new angle for Easter or a new angle for Christmas to talk about. But actually, that's just pressure we put on ourselves, I put on myself. But there was one thing that kind of, as I was looking over the Easter story the past few weeks, there's one thing that really kind of struck me, was that when Jesus died and he was buried in a tomb, it was game over. It was done at that point. When Jesus died, before he was resurrected, it was like it was done. You know, but what we have through the resurrection is hope. And what God reminded me about the resurrection of Jesus is this, is that for us, no matter what looks dead in our lives, it's not over until God says it's over. Like, Jesus died, but it wasn't over. It looked like it was over, but it wasn't over until God said it was over. And I want to encourage you today to, if you've got things in your life and it looks like you're at the end, there's no hope, things look dead, don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel just yet, because it ain't over till it's over. In our passage there, it says this in verses 5 and 6, the angel spoke to the women and said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying." The women that went to the tomb were looking for a dead body. They were actually there to look for what was effectively the end game. Jesus had gone. And it looked like Jesus was dead. They expected to go to the tomb and find his body. It looked like this whole Jesus thing, this whole Christian thing was a done deal before it had even properly got started. And I can only imagine every person that witnessed Jesus on the cross when he was beaten and whipped and mocked and crucified, every person that saw his blood, that heard the screams of agony, who witnessed and felt the mourning of the disciples and those that loved Jesus and the fear that was grasping them in that moment, they would have been watching that, and they must have thought, as an outsider looking in, this thing's over. This is done, right? You know, they had these big plans, they were saying all these amazing things, and now the guy at the center of it all is dead. It's finished. This supposed Son of God isn't who he said he was. He's died. He's gone. And can you imagine what Satan and all of hell must have been thinking? They'd be thinking, "We've done it. We did it. We got him. He's dead, it's job done. There's not going to be any progress of Christianity. We've stopped it in its tracks. It's us. We're going to take over heaven and earth. We're going to be victorious. We've buried hope and locked it away in a tomb. And there would have been, I'm sure, party and celebration at the fact that Jesus was gone. But it was premature because it wasn't over. It wasn't over. What looked to be over was just the beginning. The dream looked dead, but it was still very much alive. You know, Jesus is so alive that 2,000 years on, we're still talking about his resurrection. And 2,000 years on, we're living in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. It's great, isn't it? The tomb where Jesus was buried. I don't know, you can go to places, you can see where, for example, I was brought up in Dumfries, and we've got Robert Burns is buried in Dumfries, and you can go and visit his tomb. And you go there because his body's there, and it's famous for being the tomb of Robert Burns. The tomb of Jesus is famous because there's no one there. It's an empty tomb. You're actually just, if you're to visit Jesus' tomb, you're visiting fresh air. There's no body there. The tomb where Jesus was buried is famous because of what it doesn't contain. And you know, can you imagine life today without the resurrection? We wouldn't be sitting here. And I don't know what maybe dream, you might have a dream in your life that might look like it's dying. Or you have hopes and aspirations that seem to be dead. But I think if we take the story of the resurrection, we can always say that the dream lives on. The hope is never gone. Maybe it's your marriage or your relationship. Maybe it was a dream and now it's a nightmare. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your job or your ministry or your health. Maybe it's you've had an addiction or something that's been taking a hold on you that's been killing you for years. And I don't know what dream you might have had in your life that looks like it's dead or has turned into a nightmare, but you've got to keep dreaming because it's not over until God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. Jesus said this in Matthew 19. He said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Humanly speaking, dead bodies don't come back to life. But with God, everything is possible. So we have to ask ourselves a question in the truth of what Jesus said there. If Jesus is saying things that are impossible become possible through God, then have you got an impossible situation? What's your impossible situation? Are you at the end of your tether? Are you backed into a corner with no sign of escape? Well, I've got news for you. With God, everything is possible. You might have family or friends that you know need Jesus in their life, and you feel like you're just batting your head against a brick wall. No matter what you say, no matter how much you share your faith and the love of Jesus with them, they never seem to make that step towards them. But hang in there. Because it isn't over until God says it's over. You keep that dream alive. No matter what looks dead in your life, it isn't over until God says it's over. And we also have to remember that the situation that you might find yourself in didn't take God by surprise. That gives me a peace of mind, actually, to know that in a difficult situation, it didn't surprise God, and he's already working through the outcome for me. God knows everything about everything. He's all-knowing, but more than that, he loves you and he cares for you. So the things he sees in your life, he sees through eyes of compassion and through eyes of love. Your messed up situation, your difficulty, your hopeless scenario hasn't caught God off guard. Your situation hasn't shocked God or taken him by surprise. It's not like God's sitting up in heaven and he's not paying attention And then one day he hears the news about your circumstance. And he's like, oh, I never saw that coming. God knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen before it even happens. He's got eternal vision. He can see down the road. And he's got perfect perspective on where we find ourselves. Psalm 139 speaks about this. It says this, Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit up or stand down. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. God knows. God knows. And before you even stepped into the circumstance that you don't want to be in, God was already at work. God was already at work for you. Think about that for a minute. You know, God knows. He knew what was coming. He's not caught off guard. God knew you were going to need a miracle or a divine intervention before you even knew you had a problem. And I hope that brings some peace of mind to know that. And even the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus was not a surprise to Jesus. He said this in Matthew 16. Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. So even Jesus wasn't surprised by the circumstances because he's God. He knew. Remember as well in Genesis 22, the story about Abraham, when God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. He walked up a mountain and he took Isaac with him. Abraham on that journey had no idea that God was going to provide a different sacrifice, that he had a solution or another plan, and that a miracle was already in the making. While Abraham was walking up the mountain with Isaac, God was sending a ram up the other side of the mountain to meet them. He was already preparing for that miracle to take place. God knows. He knows why. He knows how. He knows when. The prophet Isaiah says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. If that is where God is positioned, then we can stay focused, we can keep dreaming, we can keep praying, we can keep hoping, we can keep believing, and we can keep pressing on, because God knows. Paul said this in Philippians 3. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize of which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And Isaiah talks about, that's in Isaiah 43, forget what's gone before, this is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun, even though you don't see it. I will make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Keep focused, keep dreaming, keep praying, keep hoping, keep believing, and keep pressing on, because God has a plan. God's got you. God's got you. It's not over. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Are we getting this? It's all there. The hope is never gone. Because God is good, but he's not only good, he's faithful, He's merciful, he's just, he's loving, he's kind, he's a provider, he's a waymaker, he's a deliverer, he's a healer, and he has a plan for you. So don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up, because God has a plan. Are you encouraged by that? It's good, isn't it? God is good. You know, and if you are in a hopeless situation at the moment, or you've got circumstances or dead dreams or a sense of hopelessness, I just want to speak to you for a moment. You know, you might be in a hopeless situation because of something that your doctor said, or because of the circumstances you're in, or because of a relationship issue. But if you're in a hopeless situation, that doesn't mean that God has left you and that God has abandoned you. Just because things don't work out exactly how you planned doesn't mean that God isn't at work in your life. I've got this hunch, right, that when we're at our worst, God does his best work. So something about us being in a place of like, we have no strength, then God has all the strength. When we are desperate, when we are at our lowest point, it makes us vulnerable and humble, and God does his best work. No matter what your situation is saying, I can tell you that God is at work in your life right now. God is at work in your life right now. I want to read a passage from Ezekiel. It's a bit lengthy, but go with me here. Some of you will know this pretty well. Ezekiel 37. This is Ezekiel speaking. So he says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, bones that were bleached by the sun. God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Master God, only you know that. So he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the message of God. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this, I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat in your bones, cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God. So I prophesied just as I'd been commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound and a rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. So God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, God the Master says, come back, come from the four winds, come breath, breathe in these slain bodies, breathe life. So I prophesied just as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. Then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they're saying. They're saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, there's nothing left of us. Therefore, prophesy, tell them, God the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I will breathe my life into you and you will live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I've said it and I'll do it. This passage in Ezekiel symbolizes people whose hope has died, whose dreams have died, and whose dreams have been dead for a long time. This is a situation where there's no future, there's no life, there's no hope, just dry bones. No body, just bones, no signs of life, no hope. God asked Ezekiel a question in this passage, and I think he's asking you the same question today. He asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel looked at the bones and he can see no possibility of resurrection, of life, of hope. Ezekiel's response to that was just to say, God, only you know. Only you know. In other words, he's saying, he's looking at the bones and thinking, I'm not too sure if there's life in this, but with God, all things are possible, and you know what you're doing. This is a crazy situation. It's beyond comprehension, a pile of old dry bones. It was beyond human solution and ability. But God tells Ezekiel to prophesy. And the word prophesy, there's a number of definitions we can give it, but actually to prophesy means to tell the truth and to speak life. Prophecy is truth and it speaks life. So God tells Ezekiel to speak truth and life into the dry bones. So he goes down to the valley and he tells death that life is about to come. If you're in a situation that's hopeless, speak truth and life over your situation. Take the word of God, speak it over your situation. Because for God, where there's no life, or where we see no life, God can still bring life. Where we have no hope, God can bring hope. Where dreams have died, God can resurrect dreams. Because it's not over until he says it's over. And the transformation of these bones and the restoration all started by hearing, by listening to the word of God. Ezekiel spoke truth and life into the situation. And you know, if we're going to see our hopelessness turn to hope and dead things come to life, the beginning of that process is the living word. We have to speak out the word of God. And maybe this is you. Maybe like you're hearing this today and you're thinking, this is resonating with me. This is my situation. Maybe your dream looks dead and you feel like giving up. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what your situation looks like, because the final outcome will come when God says it's time. People might count you out, the enemy might tell you that you've lost, and the chance for change looks impossible, but not for God, because nothing is impossible for God. This is a God who brought his son back to life. And it's difficult because when we're in hard situations and hopeless situations, we can almost switch our ears off to God. We switch our ears off to what God is saying. But you know, the turnaround, the change begins when we hear what God is saying. That's why God told Ezekiel to speak his word over the situation. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that power resides in the people of God. So if you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Where are you getting your information from? Whose version do you believe? Do you believe your version of what is possible humanly? Or do you believe what is possible for God divinely? When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, you know that story? Everyone thought it was over, but God said it wasn't. King Nebuchadnezzar, through Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into a fiery furnace. That was the end for them. No one comes out of a fire alive. They did, because God said it's not over. Job's wife thought it was over. She even encouraged Job to curse God and die, but he didn't, because God didn't say it was over. It's not over until God says it's over. The disciples thought Jesus was dead for good. His life is over. Their hope was gone. They were trembling in fear. But with God, all things are possible. If God can raise his son from the dead and change the world, an impact that is still being felt 2,000 years later, think what God can do for your health, for your finances, for your relationships, for your hopelessness, for your feelings that life is passing you by. God can change that. God can resurrect these things and breathe life into your situation.